And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays throughout the season, we talk to Michael Cohen. He's brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, any other family law needs, go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Find his work at The Athletic. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, Mike, the calls are today where, you know, people are getting on the Aaron Jones bandwagon. How much do you think that he should become a part of the offense going forward? Was that a breakthrough game? Are they going to just make it more of a focal part of the offense? How did you read that performance yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a big positive for Jones and for the offense overall. I don't think anyone in that locker room doubted, you know, what he can do if he touches the ball, you know, a certain number of times. There's plenty of people in that locker room and in that building that, you know, have tremendous belief in Jones' talent and his abilities and what he can do on a football field. But I think anytime you actually get an opportunity to go out and do that, it reinforces to everybody, you know, just exactly how you can change and influence a game. You know, everybody says the NFL is about what did you do for me lately. And so, you know, a lot of time had passed since Jones's 100-yard game and a couple of receptions against, you know, the Saints last year or the Cowboys last year. I'm not saying that people forgot about it, but when you can do it very recently, I think it just reinforces everything that coaches and teammates thought about you. And so, you know, the discussion in that locker room last night and what I think will be the case moving forward is that this is a team that can't throw it 50 times a game and expect to be successful every single week. There might be weeks where that works, but this team needs to be balanced because of some of their limitations in other areas. And so I think Aaron Jones should definitely be a focal point of the offense moving forward. And Aaron Rodgers said he likes, you know, having Jones in that 15 carry per game kind of range, which I still think it could be a little bit higher than that even. But still, if he gets 15 carries consistently, that's more than what he's been doing earlier this season.
I put a poll up on Twitter last night after Rodgers scored his second touchdown. Or I'm sorry, Aaron Jones did. See, one of them's got to change their name. Aaron Jones scores his second touchdown, and I put, who's the most important, Aaron Rodgers or Jones? And everyone starts voting Jones because, you know, whatever. And then the more people that saw the tweet, oh, what a stupid tweet. How dare you? Trying to stir things up. I think I didn't put the real answer on there. I think it's each other. And what Chuck and I were talking about the last hour or so is that if Aaron Rodgers is out for the season, obviously this season is lost. They're not going anywhere. But I think the same thing about Aaron Jones at this point. I think for the Packers to be successful, they need each other. And I would go as far to say that they play an equal role in determining each other's success because I think they complement each other very well. Michael, your thoughts on all that?
It's hard to say because in 16, when they went to the NFC title game after they were 4-6 and they did the run the table and all that kind of stuff, I mean, Rodgers basically got them there by himself, right? I mean, they didn't have a running game that year. And that stretch from when they were 4-6 to the NFC title game was one of the best, you know, 8-game stretches you'll ever see a quarterback play at any level. So does Aaron Rodgers actually need Aaron Jones to, you know, play at a very, very high level? I think the answer is probably no. But this particular team and this version of the Packers, I think, is more dependent on the running game for a lot of different reasons. One, they can't seem to stop shooting themselves in the foot on special teams in some way, shape, or form. And one way to keep your special teams units off the field is to keep moving the chains and dominate possession and all those types of things. So if Aaron Jones can do that, chew up clock and pick up first downs and all that kind of stuff, then that keeps the special teams units off the field. And I also think that, you know, for a defense and for a secondary that is pretty banged up and potentially has a couple more serious injuries after, you know, yesterday's game, they need to be able to win games where, you know, they don't have to necessarily keep teams to 7 or 10 or 14 points. There's going to be some games down the stretch where the Packers probably allow 20 to 24 points? And can the offense do enough to win those games, you know, and sort of offset a subpar performance by the defense? And I think that's where the balance comes in, because you saw there was so much more danger associated with this offense when the Dolphins had no idea if they were going to hand it to Jones or if they were going to throw it to Davante Adams or Marquez Valdes-Scantling or anybody else. And so I think this particular version of the Packers, because they have some flaws in other areas, they need balance more so than others. You know, whereas, like I said, the 16 team down the stretch when they made the NFC Championship game, that was basically Rodgers by himself.
Do you think they turned the corner at all yesterday with that win, or do you look at it as just a victory against a team that had a bad day and not a very good football team?
Well, what I kind of pointed out is I think there are elements of both. So the first thing you have to say about the Dolphins is that, you know, any team that comes into Lambeau Field in November when it's cold and they're missing four starters on the offensive line and they're missing their quarterback, there's no excuse to losing to a team like that. So this was absolutely a game the Packers had to and should win, and they did so. So I think in that regard, they definitely took advantage of a bad football team. On the flip side of things, I think they outlined a blueprint for how they can be successful moving forward. And this is sort of what I wrote about in my column on The Athletic this morning. They were able to establish the run with Jones. They were able to be more creative in how they used Davante Adams. And Aaron Rodgers did what he said he wanted to do, which was take shots and throw things to Adams, even on plays where it looks like he might not be as open as other guys on the field. In other words, forcing the ball to your two best playmakers, Jones and Adams. So in my opinion, this could be an example and sort of a roadmap of how this Packers team needs to win week in and week out. I don't necessarily know if it will translate to anything as quickly as Thursday against Seattle or even against the Vikings, you know, in a tough environment there 10 days from now or so, 12 days from now. But I think this is an example of how this Packers team has to win games. And so if they can harness this and find ways to replicate the style that they had against the Dolphins, I think it gives them the best chance to be successful and turn the corner, like you mentioned.
When you have a short week, it doesn't help when there's a lot of guys that get banged up, especially in the secondary. Lucas Patrick, the guard, Nick Perry's working with a knee. But in the secondary, Bashaud Breeland went out with a groin injury, Kentrell Bryce, ankle. And then Alexander, there was some discussion of whether he was concussed or not. What do you know about the injuries to the secondary? And then if these guys can't go, I mean, we could be looking at Raven Green and Tony Brown getting the start back there on Thursday.
Well, it certainly looked like Kentrell Bryce's injury appeared to be serious. I have not heard anything official, but, you know, he was basically inconsolable on his way to the locker room on the cart. And I looked at him through binoculars, and it certainly appeared from our vantage point that he was either sobbing or crying or just in a lot of pain and just, you know, was extremely disheartened with the situation. And so for a guy that has been through a season-ending ankle injury last year, you'd think that he probably has at least a general understanding of what a severe injury is versus something that's not. And so we don't know if he's going to be out for the season. We don't know if it's going to be something where they took x-rays and an MRI and it's actually not that bad. But based on his reaction, you would think that it's, you know, of a significant nature. And then Nick Perry, you know, having a knee problem now as well. He already had an ankle problem. You know, it's just sort of another thing for Perry where he seems to get nicked up all the time, and this would be a very inopportune time for the Packers, just because, you know, even though he hasn't necessarily produced very much this season, they've only got four edge rushers on the team, and if you take one away, that makes it really, really hard to have any sort of a rotation, and it makes each guy, you know, less impactful over the course of a game, and so that's something to keep an eye on. And then, you know, like you said, the guys they had back there this week, Tony Brown finishing the game when Breeland went out, and then Raven Green, an undrafted rookie from James Madison, you know, playing back there at the safety spot because, you know, they're very, very short on bodies there. And what I said, you know, in the press box and on my podcast was that I think in the short term, it's hard to say that Gutekunst didn't lose the HaHa Clinton-Dix trade. Now, I'm not saying that in the end it won't be a huge benefit for the Packers if Clinton-Dix either doesn't play well in Washington or maybe, you know, the draft pick that they get in return turns out to be a really stud player. They've had some really big home run players in the fourth round in the past. But in the short term, because of the injuries, I think it's hard to really say that Gutekunst made the right call in trading Clinton Dix, but that's impossible to predict. It's just a risk that you take, and he rolled the dice, and unfortunately it appears to be coming up snake eyes with the injury bug and with Whitehead being released at safety.
Raven Green making a couple of plays yesterday. Is he a guy who you could see is a good player? Is he just in there because of the injuries? Is that a guy who would find his way onto the field even if there were injuries or weren't injuries?
I think he pretty much played because there were injuries. And then the reason I say that is, you know, we're 9 games into the season and he had not played a minute part from scrimmage up until this point. So if the Packers had any intention of working him in, you know, if guys were healthy, you know, in other words, just bringing him along slowly and finding a way onto the field, they certainly haven't showed that at any point in time this season. You know, undrafted rookie, like I said, a guy that certainly has some athletic traits that you like and some intelligence that you like. I don't know. It's way too early to say if he can develop into a good player, but I think the pattern this season was clear that, you know, if he could only play on special teams, that's what the Packers preferred. So, you know, take that for what you will, I guess.
Michael Cohen, you can find his work at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13. We'll check in a couple days, start to preview this Seattle matchup, Michael. Until then, we will talk soon.
All right, see you guys.
Michael Cohen joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. It is a Thursday night game, Freems. You got to get out. This will be a good one to watch at a friendly local establishment, I would say.
Without question. And there's a lot of these things coming up, a lot of games coming up here where you can just get out there and then get out to the Q Club of Wisconsin, located on the fashionable north side of Waukesha. The Q Club of Wisconsin, place to watch all your favorite sports action. It's a sports bar. You go out there with your friends, you watch the games, you have a good meal. Also, they got your favorite indoor sports there, the huge entertainment room when you get out there, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, the electronic darts, the ping pong, and more and more. They got a lot of things out there, and that huge, it's expansive entertainment room. So, again, you're going out there to watch some games. You can also take part in some of the games that they got there in their entertainment room. Now, the Q Club also starting up this month, the Indoor Bocce Ball League. The courts are ready to go. Leagues are starting to play. And, you know, if you want to start your own league, form your own league, check it out, the Q Club, the Bocce Ball. It's normally an outdoor sport, but, man, they're making it indoor. They put a lot of money, so it's almost better than playing outdoor over at the indoor Bocce Ball courts. Check it out for yourself over at the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. Now, as far as the food goes, well, the food preference is terrific, whether it's the awesome burgers, the wings, the appetizers, the award-winning fish fries, both on Friday and Wednesday night. The 4 different styles piled high with all the extras. Again, the waitress, the server is going to come over and give you a big plate of food on a fish fry Friday or Wednesday. And man, that's great. Nothing better when the server comes, you see her walking in, him or her walking in, and you see a couple of mounds of food on there. It's like, oh man, that's ours. And it's coming right in your direction. That's what it's like at the Q Club of Wisconsin on a Friday or a Wednesday. With their Friday fish fry. Check out their happy hours from 3 until 7. The happy hour on Fridays, the late night happy hour, starts at 10 o'clock. The Facebook page will have all their live entertainment. Yeah, they got bands on weekends as well. So if you want to get out and enjoy some music on weekends, Q Club Wisconsin is your place for that. If you got a private party coming up, a little holiday party, they got some private rooms there with your own VIP suite, the luxury pool table in that VIP suite. Plenty of things to do, good food, and, of course, all your favorite sports action. The Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, north side. It's Highway T. Take a half mile south of 994 in Waukesha, half mile south of 94, out in western Waukesha, and you're right there. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com. Visit them on Facebook, the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha.
It's Chuck and Winkler. The Bucks also with a busy weekend. We'll talk about them coming up in about 15 minutes. A look around week 10 of the NFL and more from you guys. 414-799-1250. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Some football players are hot, while some are not. It's time to check out fantasy stats and see who's hot and who's not. Brought to you by Just Not Salt and Pepper. Hot sauces, seasonings, spices, mixes, and more for your tailgate party.
in Greenfield, and at justnotsaltandpepper.com.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Yesterday, if you have DirecTV, they gave you a gift. Free Sunday ticket yesterday, so you could watch every game, even the Red Zone channel. And then the NFL was like, okay, they did not give you a gift. A lot of the games were not entertaining.
They were all blowouts yesterday.
A lot of blowouts.
God. I mean, there were some lopsided games yesterday where they were pretty much over by the third quarter.
The Bills blowing out the Jets, the Titans blowing out the Patriots, the Saints blowing out the Bengals.
Yeah,
the best game was probably the night game.
I was telling you last week, I said New England, the night game. How about Dallas going into Philadelphia? Because we all said, Philadelphia, what are they doing as a 7-point favorite, 7.5-point favorite? Because we all like Philadelphia on Friday. It's like, man, why? It's so obviously Vegas knew something. They were trying to catch us all to take Philadelphia, which they would have done, and Dallas was the play.
Yeah, Philly's a little broken. Not quite sure why. I know injuries have bothered them quite a bit. Cody Grant, our producer. Cody, who was hot in Week 10 in the NFL?
Go to Chicago first. Mitchell Trubisky, 355 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Also had a rushing touchdown. And then last night, Zach Ertz came up on the losing end, but he had 14 catches for a 145 and 2 touchdowns. Then you got to give it to the Packers running back Aaron Jones, 145 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, and 3 catches for 27 yards.
Cody, you're a Bears fan. Is Trubisky the real deal down there?
I like Trubisky. I said since they drafted him, he's shown enough flashes for me to believe in him, and he continues to put up numbers like this. You know, you got to back him.
Chuck, because he's a Bears quarterback, it feels like he should be bad, but he is. I mean, he's impressive what he's been doing.
Yeah, only in the second year, he is impressive. Now, are the Bears, do I think they're going to go anywhere in the playoffs once they get there? I don't think so. But, hey, who would have guessed they'd be in first place 9 games of the season?
They are 6-3, playing very well. Cody, who is not hot in fantasy?
Yeah, Mike Evans had a rough outing, 3 catches for 51 yards. And you got to take 2 guys off of the Chiefs against that Arizona defense. Travis Kelce only had 6 catches for 46 yards, and Kareem Hunt, 71 yards on the ground, 2 catches for 25 yards. Both those guys held out of the end zone.
Let's review some of the bets we made on Friday's show. The Saints were 5.5-point favorites over the Bengals. Chuck had the Bengals in that one, lost to both Cody and myself. Chuck, you and I went toe-to-toe on Chiefs-Cardinals. I thought they'd cover the 16.5. They did not really put on the gas, and the Cardinals actually played a little better than I thought they would.
Yeah, Cardinals were playing from behind. I don't know if they took a quick 7-0 lead in that game, the Cardinals, but I know that they were just holding on there for the cover. I know at the end there, I saw Kansas City intercepted a ball, and you know, they took it down to the 20-yard line, but that was it.
Chiefs went up first thanks to Tyreek Hill, who had a really good game yesterday. Jets were 7-point favorites over the Bills. Chuck, you were right on Cody taking the Bills in that one.
Yeah, boy, the Bills just all over the Jets there. I mean, that wasn't even close.
Cody had the Patriots 6.5 over Tennessee, another team that was the underdog with a convincing win. New England has struggled. They've lost to Matt Patricia, former Belichick disciple, and then Vrabel yesterday, the first time Belichick's ever coached against someone he has coached as a player. So Belichick, who in the past, you know, these student-teacher games, he usually comes out on top. If you know Bill Belichick, those are the kind of coaches that are beating him this year.
Yeah, I would never have guessed. I took Tennessee, but I didn't think Tennessee was going to destroy him like they did yesterday. That was unreal. I kept thinking New England was going to get something going in the second half, and they just never did.
The Rams were 9.5-point favorites over Seattle. Chuck, you had the Rams there. Cody had Seattle. And Seattle did do enough to cover, actually almost won it late. Packers have them Thursday night. And then the Chargers, 10-point favorites. Cody took them over you, Frames, and he covered on that one. Raiders are
terrible.
So there's reports that Jordy Nelson may be retiring today to catch some of you guys up. I don't know if that's true yet, but either way, immediately. Okay, when we said that just now, how many of you connected the dots? Could he come back to the Packers? No.
No, Brian Gutekunst cut him, and he's not. He's moved on. There's a reason why he cut him. They lowballed him. Remember, Jordy almost took a lowball offer from the Packers. Almost did. He didn't, but that's how little they felt about Jordy. There's no room for Jordy. They've moved on from him.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that in any way. Plus, there's you can't just retire and go to whatever team you want to.
They would have to cut him.
That's also a thing. So we'll find out more on that when it becomes available. And then Freems, we went on Penn State and Wisconsin, and I thought the Badgers would not cover, and they did not.
Yeah, they hung in there for a little bit, and Penn State tried to keep Wisconsin in the game. They fumbled it about 2 minutes to go, and I thought, oh boy. And then Penn State handily won that game. So Wisconsin's in trouble. They got 4 losses. What a disappointing season.
So I've got it right now where you owe me $150.
What was it? What was the total yesterday from?
It was 125, and then we split the 2 NFL ones that you and I went in on, and then I won the Badgers game, so I'm up to 150.
Yeah.
Cody,
yeah.
Chuck owes you some money, too?
Yeah, he owes me 125 right now, and Bart, still owe me 25. So
I owe you 25?
Yes.
Okay.
So Rose and I split yesterday?
No, I won 3 out of 5.
So you won 3 out of 5.
Yeah, because you won the Bills, and you won the Patriots, and I won the Saints, Chargers, and Seahawks.
I forgot about our Penn State bet, because usually I go off the tweet that Rhodes puts out.
Yeah. There wasn't enough room on the tweet.
Rhodes, you didn't put that on the tweet yesterday.
Yeah, my mistake.
Over the weekend, yeah. I forgot about it. But I remember us betting, though. I do remember it.
Yeah, no, I bet up against the Badgers always.
Yes. Well,
they are
terrible.
They're bad.
Not
well,
good.
4 losses. And, yeah, more and more looking like a December bowl game for them.
Mid-December. Yeah, like not even New Year's Eve.
No.
They're probably going to play in the Pinstripe Bowl, which is like the 27th in New York City at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the closer you play to mid-December, the worse your season is.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
That's a look around the NFL in terms of fantasy and some of the point spreads over the weekend. Packers will start week 11 of the NFL against the Seahawks, where they come in as a 2.5-point underdog. I'm actually surprised by that because normally the home team gets 3.
Yes.
So that means they think on a neutral field the Packers are better than Seattle. I don't think much of Seattle right now, but as I've told you, I don't think much of Green Bay, and I think at home, Seattle certainly gets the edge.
Okay. Now, immediately, the first reaction, when you see Seattle at 2.5, you're thinking, oh, I love the Seattle. 2.5? Just like the Philadelphia game last night against Dallas, -7. Oh, Philadelphia's going to dismantle Dallas. They lost by 2 touchdowns against Tennessee on Monday night. And this, my first instinct was Seattle 2.5. God, grab -2.5 and run with it. But maybe Vegas knows something, and they think the Packers are going to win this game. They're suckering you into taking Seattle.
They must not know that my bad luck jinx is going to the game. So Vegas must not know that. I'm going to the game. I'm not expecting to see the Packers win this game.
You know what really sucks when you go to those road games? When your team doesn't play well, and you hear all the home teams cheering for the team other than, the home team there. I hate it.
Hey, what are you doing here? We don't got that much cheese out here, hey, guys.
Oh, do you get that?
Always about cheese.
Yeah.
Which I love cheese. So then I double down, and I buy nacho chips, and what I do then is I drink the nacho cheese in front of the people that were yelling at me about the cheese.
Bart's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's cheese in my blood. Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins, where maybe a more nutritious meal, maybe a better meal, a better tasting meal, just a better meal than drinking straight nacho cheese you can find at Perkins. Although if you really want to, they'll probably help you out there. Right now at Perkins, they've got an old classics. They've got all the old classics, but it's on a new menu. So it's a new menu of all your old classics. That's where I'm going with this one. At Perkins right now, they're going back to basics. Everybody loves the classics, and that's what they're doing at Perkins. Some of their finest fare over the last 60 years now presented to you in one menu. The fabulous 5 breakfast combo. You know Perkins for their breakfast. They've got that available for you. The timeless triple-decker club. That is featured right now. The big, thick, juicy burgers, they are your place for that as well. It's all available at Perkins. And again, that menu, the Back to Basics, starts at just $4.99. And hey, today, it's a Pie Society Monday. After 11 o'clock, you get a free slice of pie when you go get a meal. Whether you do that for breakfast or maybe lunch, dinner, if you're there after 11, you get a free slice of pie no matter what with your meal. They do it every Monday. It's Pie Society Monday, and that is at Perkins. The Milwaukee Bucks, a very interesting road trip. Maybe won the games you thought they lose, lost the games you thought they win. Was it a successful one? Some debate about that. We'll have our reaction coming up. 799-1250 if you'd like to chime in. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Who stood out last night for the Bucks? Let's get the Chili's MVB from last night's Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Dial 799-1250, and you could win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back! This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Bucks fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
One of the Bucks' West Coast road trips in the books. It caps off with an impressive win last night, 121-114 over the Denver Nuggets. Who was the Chili's MVB in this affair? Let's go out to Chris in St. Francis. Chris, who was the Chili's MVB in last night's victory?
It was Brook Lopez.
Was it Brook Lopez?
Morning, boys. Your Chili's MVB in a Bucks 121-114 victory. Brookie, the Wookie Lopez. Brook Lopez is your Chili's MVB. 8 of 13 from beyond the arc, a career-high 8 threes, 28 points. In the Bucks win, Brook Lopez, your Chili's MVB.
The defense there, right back out. Deep three. Lopez, seven three-pointers for Brook Lopez.
Man, oh man, is it!
You know, it was great. My teammates were doing a great job of making the right plays. But we were so great defensively, you know, when it counted, and especially in the fourth quarter after they made their run, we came together and we kept getting stops and just getting out and doing our thing offensively.
Brook Lopez, your Chili's MVB. Thank you, Mayor Mitch. An impressive night for Lopez, who had 13 three-point attempts last night and made 8 of them, including one that was like Steph Curry type, man. I mean, somebody on Twitter tweeted, Chuck, he's like, if the Splash Brothers jumped on each other's shoulders and wore a trench coat, Brook Lopez, another impressive outing from him.
Yeah, I mean, he was just amazing last night. And look at this road trip for them. The road trip, Bart, they've been incredible so far. I mean, going to Golden State and winning Denver at Denver, two spots I didn't think they were going to win at.
So you think it was a success because there were a lot of, I mean, I don't know what the expectations are. It's a four-game West
yes.
Coast road trip.
Yes.
You lose to Portland. Then you go and beat the Warriors on their home floor. You turn around. The one against the Clippers stings. It was an overtime game. Some things went, you know, wrong at the end for you. All right, but then you bounce back. In like the last 10 years or something, I'm going to butcher this stat that Jim Paskey was saying, but I'm pretty close enough to say it. When you go from L.A. to Denver back-to-back like that, basically you never win. You're like 2-21 in the last 10 years or so teams are. It's like brutal. It never happens. But the Bucks were able to not only win, but win a close game and then do it against a good team. If you look at these teams that they played, the Warriors are number one in the West at 11-2. They lost to the Trailblazers, who are 12-3 or 10-3. The Nuggets are 9-4. Those are the three best teams in the West right now. And let's not forget about the 7-5 Clippers coming in at seventh place. Yeah, you would have liked to beat the Clippers. Do not sleep on the Trailblazers. This was absolutely, to me, Chuck, a successful road trip. There's no question to me.
Oh yeah, you go 2-2 on a road trip. That's a terrific trip, no matter how you slice it. If you would have lost the two games in Denver and Golden State and won the other two, I think going 2-2 on the West Coast, I'll take that every day. I will. I'll take that every day. And I think that's just another staple to me to prove that, hey, the Bucks are going to have a good season, that they went out on the West Coast and they played some good ball. And how about last night? You know, Denver made a couple of runs at them, but the Bucks hung in there and closed it off. You know, at the end, it looked like Bledsoe, God, I don't know what he was thinking, but he tried to give the game away at the end there, but they sealed them off and got the win.
God, this is from our Matt Velasquez, who tweeted last night, the Bucks have been a mess all fourth quarter. This is about halfway through the fourth quarter. Nuggets guard bench heavy unit has been flummoxing them at every turn. It was a great energy boost for Denver. Milwaukee did not know what hit them. Bucks took a timeout. They were down 109-105 with 5:36 to go. That was after a 21-6 fourth quarter up to that point, but the Bucks were able to get it done, and when it looked like they weren't going to, they did. So if you're worried that they can't win on the road, they can. If you're worried they can't beat good teams, they can. If you're worried they can't win close games, they can. If you're worried at any point about the Bucks right now, I think that's a you problem and maybe not a Bucks problem.
Hey, if they would have lost that game, yeah, I mean, they would have won in three, but I would have called it
a success. You beat Golden State in their home floor. You played three tough games. It's not like the Clippers. People can look at the Clippers game on Saturday. It stung. That was a disappointing loss. You sat down, you watched it. It was a bummer. The Clippers are not bad. The Nuggets and Blazers, these are the top three teams right now in the West. This was not going there and playing the Kings or playing the Suns. This was about as hard of a West Coast trip as you could possibly have, and the Bucks look good on it.
Okay, but it's just tough to say a 1-3 road trip is a success. Now, even 2-2, it's pushing it, saying it's a success. But I'm just looking forward to, hey, I didn't want to go out there and go 0-4 or 1-3. You went out there and you held serve. You went 2-2, and you played two. I mean, you could have went 3-1. You know, Portland was the only game that you really lost, and I mean, lost decisively. So, I mean, the Clipper game on Saturday, man, a few things could have gone right there. You would have won that game. But I mean, I just like the way yesterday, though. Denver, yeah. You know, they made that run, that 21-6 run, down 109-105, and they bounced back, and they got the victory, man. Giannis, make those free throws, too.
That is a problem. They've learned some things that they need to address, and one of those is Giannis at the line. He was 0 for 5 yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's just been an ongoing problem with Giannis. It's nothing new. Yeah, we've seen Giannis leave the Bradley Center. I've seen him leave the Bradley Center in his clothes and go to the old Cousins Center, and just, I've heard he stayed in there all night and practiced his free throws. That's frustration for him. I know it is. 0 for 5. He's too good a player to be going 0 for 5 from the free throw line, especially in a tight game like that.
Now, against Golden State, he was 10 for 11. He was really good. All of Golden State, he was really good. Mm-hmm. Clippers, he was 5 for 11, and then 0 for 5.
Ooh.
For a superstar, you got to be better at the line. Otherwise, yeah, it is going to cost you games. It may have on Saturday, but it wasn't enough to cost them on Sunday. The team picked him up around him. 414-799-1250. 2-2. They split out west. Was that a successful road trip to you? Martinez in Port Washington. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Martinez.
What's up, man? See, I told you you was a class act. You talking Bucks, like I said.
Hey, we got to talk Bucks, baby. Big weekend.
Yeah, man. Hey, the 2-2, that's all I wanted. I didn't expect him to beat Denver and Golden State, so that's a surprise. But, you know, the one loss against the Clippers did come down to free throws. I hate that I see professional players, man, miss free throws like that. One or two a game, I understand. But when you miss 5 in a row, man, that's ridiculous. He needs to work on that because he could have cost us that game. And Bledsoe, dude plays good, man, when he knows that he playing worse for something. And that hustle he showed yesterday, man, that was crazy. I mean, he made a bonehead mistake. He should have brought it back out and wasted time.
Yeah.
But he did make up for it again at the end. But, you know, sometimes you got to just take whatever you get from Bledsoe. Because Bledsoe's one of them players, like, he has the right heart, but sometimes he gets in his mind, like, I want to be the hero. And he got to stop doing that. And Brook Lopez, dude, they better find a way to find this guy. I mean, we finna get rid of some contract anyway, but he signed for $3 million. I know he's going to be worth more than that after this year, but they got to find a way to get him because he stretches the floor, and, man, he shoots deep, man. That one he hit was Steph Curry, man.
Deep.
I didn't think he was going to hit that one. I was like, yeah, he's joking now. I was like, damn, he hit that. But the Bucks, they showing that they're legit, man. They're not scared of these teams. But one thing I'll give Denver, man, That 5,280 on the free throw line, that's brutal, man. Because you can be like, I can't breathe while you're shooting free throws because it's constantly reminding you that the air is thin there. But I like that about that court. But
They put the – because 5,280, that's how high up a mile is.
Yeah.
That's right there on the line. I noticed that in the court, but I didn't. That's a good observation.
Well, here's the deal. You know, Giannis, he missed those free throws.
See you, Martinez.
Physically, we know he can nail free throws. Yeah, I mean,
Martinez. You know,
free throws are mechanical, but when you're missing them, it's mental. It really is. I mean, it's just I've used this comparison that, you know, he can go all day and go to Our Father's Lutheran gym and shoot free throws and make free throws all day. But when you get a crowd, a little pressure on you, it gets a little tight. Sometimes it's a mental toughness making those free throws. And I know we know Giannis is a mentally tough guy, but, man, free throws 0 for 5, you're better than that. And Brook Lopez, nobody in the league wanted Brook Lopez, and that's why he came to the Bucks for that offer. He was making like $16, $17 million last year. His contract expired, and people thought he was finished. He's not finished, obviously.
I mean, that was his game last night.
Yeah.
He was the Chili's MVP, as Mayor Mitch told us, and that makes sense. I mean, Brook Lopez, 8-13 from beyond the arc, 28 points, led the team. Brook Lopez,
yeah.
Trash in free agency.
Yeah.
Yesterday's scraps. Nobody wants them. One man's junk is another man's treasure. So the Bucks, second in the East right now, just behind the Toronto Raptors. And honestly, what I've been saying is I like those two teams. I really like what Toronto's doing. I really like the Bucks. Boston, you have to put them up there. I'm not as high on them as maybe everybody else, but they are very good. And Kyrie, to me, is one of the best players in the league. Just he takes over games.
So, and Philadelphia getting Jimmy Butler over the weekend, that's a big boost to them.
As I'm leading into, those are the three teams for Eames. And Philly, I wrote off. I'm writing them off. And then what do they do Saturday morning?
Oh, you weren't writing them off prior to that, though, were you? I mean, that's still a good team. They got off to a slow start.
I put them at four. I put Bucks, Raptors, Celtics. Those are my top three.
Yeah.
And then I put Philly at four. I don't think they did enough. In the offseason, I thought they got worse, and it looks like they maybe thought the same thing. So they go out, and they are the team.
Mm.
It wasn't talked about, but they're the team that comes and finds the way to get Jimmy Butler in. So, yeah, now you absolutely have to put them back up. For a guy like me who was sort of saying it's Bucks, Toronto, Celtics, Philly's over here, just behind, I've got no choice but to lump them back into the top four.
Okay. No, I just yeah, but I initially heard you say Philly. You wrote them off that they weren't going to be, you know, a good team. They're still a good team, but they're much better. That's when my phone went off on Saturday and I saw the breaking news about Jimmy Butler being traded to Philly. I was like, oh man, really? Now we got to contend with Jimmy Butler over at Philadelphia. That sucks. That he makes them better. That was a great trade for Philadelphia. I don't think they gave up a hell of a lot for him. And part of me was thinking, geez, couldn't the Bucks have been in on this deal?
Well, okay, they gave up Saric and Covington in a second rounder in like 4 years, but Saric and Covington are starters. Those guys are good.
Yeah.
Saric is still kind of like, what is he? Covington, I think, is really good. This is a good trade. This is probably a good trade for both teams. The Sixers had to do something.
I still think, though, the Sixers getting Jimmy Butler, a superstar like that, I would, if I had to give up Chris Middleton, I would have got Jimmy Butler in a second on my team. Oh, yeah.
I don't think the Bucks were ever going to do that.
Well, you know what? But Jimmy Butler is a better ball player than Middleton. In both ends of the court, he is. I would have taken. Oh yeah, I would have. If it would have meant giving up Chris Middleton to get Jimmy Butler, I would have done it.
Sixers are going to be really good on D. The problem is their depth. The depth took a huge hit, but they may fix that, and I may lose a bet because of this. There's apparently reports and rumors that they're already working to get Kyle Korver over there. So I would lose a bet to you.
Well, I'm hoping you win that bet with me because I would love to see. I've wanted Korver here for years with the Bucks, and the guy is a deadly 3-point shooter. Add him to what the Bucks are trying to get accomplished on the court, and where does that take the Bucks?
Did you want Lopez here too, or was that Joakim Noah?
No, Lopez.
You always
Noah.
Like Noah too.
I like Noah, and yeah. Noah's done. But Lopez was a surprise to all of us because Lopez was out there, and that came from nowhere this summer. And then it's like the news. Well, the Bucks signed Brook Lopez to a $3 million deal. I'm like, what? First of all, Lopez coming here, and at $3 million, what's the deal there? Are they getting an injury? Are they getting a Lopez? No, he's like still in the prime of his career. I don't know where people thought he was done.
799-1250. Let's grab Santo out on the west side. Santo, 2-2 road trip, success or no?
Oh, it's a huge success. But really quick, Chuck, you know you're my guy, man, but you're wearing some Marquette colored glasses. Jimmy Butler is a fantastic player. But I'm worried about, if I was a Philadelphia fan, I'd be worried about the attitude coming into that locker room. Now, maybe it improves with the trade, but if he rubs off wrong on those young players, it could ruin team chemistry.
Jimmy's a good guy. Jimmy, I think he is a good guy.
Yeah.
No, he is a good guy. I think he is a great guy,
but I'm telling you, he seems bitter, and if that rubs off on those young guys, I'd be worried if I was Philly. If not, it's a great trade, I agree. Anyway, yeah. Back to the Bucks, real quick. Hey, you know, the great Bucks teams from the 80s that always fell a little short but still won 50 games every year, those teams would go on the West Coast and go 1-3 or 0-4 on a trip like this. So to see this team go 2-2 is nothing but good news. And, yeah, the Clipper game hurts a little, but to come back the next day against Denver, a team that I think is legit, top four team in the West, and play the way they did, and then go down in the fourth quarter where Bucks teams would flame out in the past, this team came back. It's a whole different mindset they have, and it's just another reminder of how coaching matters so much in the NBA. Last year, Kidd would have lost that game by 20 after they fell apart in the fourth quarter. Budenholzer put them back together and got the win, and I couldn't be happier. This team is on the way to great things.
Santo, thanks for the call, bud.
I agree with you on that, except the only thing I don't agree with you is the Jimmy Butler. And no, it has nothing to do with him playing at Marquette. I mean, whether he played at Marquette or Louisville, I think Jimmy Butler is a good player. And, you know, Jimmy Butler got into the NBA because of what he did on the defensive end. Now he does it on both ends. And, yeah, I didn't care much for how he worked his way out of Minnesota and some of the antics up there. I didn't like that. I didn't like what he did with the scrimmage, taking the guys over like that. I didn't like that. But I'd still take him on my team.
I think where you and I differ is you would have traded him for Middleton this season. Yeah. I would not have.
Okay, I would have. And, you know, Middleton's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. I would have taken Jimmy.
Butler, too. They've got to extend him.
I know, but I would rather trade. If I was going to give a ton of money to somebody, I would give it to Jimmy over Chris Middleton.
Part of me thinks that because he's more of a name and that you get suckered into that.
Well, he's more of a name because he's a better ball player, Bart.
I think that you're more willing to give Jimmy Butler credit than you are Chris Middleton. I think you, for whatever reason, Chris Middleton's got to do 35 points, 10 boards, 8 assists a night for you to ever come around on him.
No, it's because Jimmy Butler's a great player. He's a name for a reason. He's an all-star. He's a great player. He's really good. Jimmy Butler, if Jimmy Butler, Butler gets traded, national alerts go on the phone. Chris Middleton gets traded, nobody really bats an eye nationally. But Butler getting traded, this has been major news because he's a star player. He's a superstar. Chris Middleton is not a superstar. Good player, not a superstar. So, would I hesitate? Would I hesitate to give Chris Middleton $30 million a year on his next contract? Yes, but I understand it. But Jimmy Butler, to me, Jimmy Butler is the man. I would take Jimmy Butler over Chris Middleton any day of the week, and you could have somebody else with him too.
If Justin Bieber dies, it's probably going to get more alerts than if Chance the Rapper dies, but that doesn't mean that Chance the Rapper is a worse musician than Justin Bieber.
I think you can't compare musicians and athletes. Do you think Chris Middleton is? I think you're trying to convince me Middleton's on the level with Jimmy Butler.
What I'm trying to say is that I think Jimmy Butler. I think you give more credit to him. I think some of the credit you should be giving to Chris Middleton, you give to Jimmy Butler instead.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Jimmy Butler is good. He's an all-star. I agree.
I think it's Jimmy Butler's.
Changes great. The whole course of the Sixers season.
Yes, exactly.
I wrote them off
Middleton's not there
as a true contender.
So why wouldn't I want
that? Him? Was a mistake.
Why? So what? But if it's going to take giving up Chris Middleton, who's a key part of this team, if it's going to take trading Chris Middleton for Butler, I'm going to have to do it. Obviously, you're going to have to give up a good part for him, and I would trade mids for him. Yes, and but you'd have to throw somebody else in. You just couldn't do it straight up. You'd have to throw somebody else in too.
What are you feeling, Chuck? A Chuck and Winkler pick a lane? You want to do talk Bucks, talk Packers, whatever you
want
to talk about?
We could do that. Yeah, let's
do a little Big Show pick a lane. Little Big Show pick a lane.
Little two lanes.
Yeah, a little two lanes.
Yeah, like driving down Highway 100.
Yeah.
Well, it was one lane these days.
It used to be
no lanes. Your lane is my lane on Highway 100 these days.
I drive in the median.
God,
I can't go over to Cousins without taking out a barrel.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah,
nobody's happy. Who made that decision?
All right, 799-1250. You want to talk Bucks? Okay, yeah, that'll be... The left lane is Bucks, West Coast road trip. The center lane is Jimmy Butler. And the right lane is the Packers. How about that? We'll pick a lane. It's not a bad strategy. It's not a bad gig. We'll do that next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.